Welcome, True Believer readers, to another episode of Let's Read Spider-Man, where we cover books that are a blast from Peter Parker's past. These three books today are about being drugged up and trapped, unable to escape. Today's books came out at the same time as the following three drug and escape related events. In December 22 of 1987, Motley Crue's Nikki Sixx overdoses from heroin. On December 23 of 1987, Lynette Squeaky Frome, serving a life sentence for attempted assassination of President Gerald Ford, escapes from Alderson Prison. And on December 29, 1987, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration first approves the use of Prozac to treat depression. Here to provide additional insight on what are these events is my friend Eddie. How are you today, Eddie?
I'm wonderful. It's been a very warm day in Michigan, and I ran around outside a lot. So, wow, great. Great for the month of February.
Eddie, did you see that I got three events that were related to the whole theme of the books?
Very good, James B.
Well, because this book is all about, you know, we're going to cover three books today. They're all about drugs and being trapped in this, like, this insane asylum,
right.
Essentially.
Escape.
So I found some drug-related and escape-related themes. And they all took place in the same month as this book, these books coming out. It's crazy, right?
Well done, James B.
You want to talk about one of these?
Yeah, I am such a strong proponent of Prozac. It's such a wonderful, wonderful drug for so many people. You know, that's kind of why this book bothers me a little. Well, there's quite a few reasons why these three books bother me, but there are many good drugs out there, Prozac being one of them, that are super helpful for lots of people. So it's great.
Okay, well, we should let the listeners know a little bit what we're talking about. And all from 1987, we're going to cover a Web of Spider-Man book, an Amazing Spider-Man book, and then, of course, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man book.
Do you like that this storyline now hops between the titles, or would you prefer, like, a consistent one for each title?
Great question. Ask me again at the end of these books.
Okay. Sorry, James B.
from December of 1987, Web of Spider-Man 33, What's the Matter with Mommy? Part 1 by Nascenti, Martin, and Steve Lealoa.
This first cover by Bill Sienkiewicz is so different from past ones. They are, like, all these covers, all three of them, are like negatives from a roll of camera film, and I would describe them as scary.
Yeah, Bill Sienkiewicz is the reason I stopped completely reading The New Mutants, one of the first titles I just dropped from my collection. I didn't care for his style, although I'll admit it's different.
Two children, Jacob and Tanya, and their mentally unstable mother, Vicky, are trying to escape their abusive tyrant of a father, Frank. But he arrives in his Jaguar before they can leave, and the wife and kids verbally fight with him. Frank's boss, the Arranger, insists Frank's unstable wife needs a, quote, rest. We jump to a normal-looking mental ward in a hospital headed by a scientist using electroshock therapy and drugs to turn people into insane killers for the Kingpin.
Sometimes I read pages slower or faster than usual when I'm preparing for these podcasts, but I found myself really getting into the story. Now, I know we're covering a Spider-Man podcast, and I like my arc to be about Spider-Man, but I just was into this story. It really wasn't clear to me if the mother was crazy because of the father, or if it's for some other reason she's just functionally crazy, and I wasn't really sure what the father's story was. But I gotta admit, I was really into this, so please continue.
Okay. At the Bugle, J. Jonah Jameson tells Peter he needs to take better pictures. Only to have Gloria Grant tell Peter his current batch is great. As Peter leaves Aunt May's later that night, he bumps into the two kids trying to find their mother. Tanya pleads with Peter to help her follow the ambulance that took her mother away. Her brother, Jacob, pulls her away, and although worried, Peter continues home. The kids get to the roof of the hospital housing their mother and are confronted by Frank, their father. Jacob pulls a gun on his dad, but hospital security intervenes and at gunpoint tells the trio they are bringing them in. Thankfully, Spider-Man swings in, knocking out all the guards except for one, who throws Tanya off the building. Spidey saves the falling girl but is shot and lies wounded in the alley.
Yeah, I got a bunch of things to say here. First of all, welcome back Gloria Grant to the current you know, books. It's good to see you here. These kids, just to get a sense of them, I'm not going to get too hung up on them, but let's pretend the boys, I don't know, whatever, 13, maybe the girl's like 8. They're just so you understand how old these kids are.
Gotcha.
And to be clear, you say hospital security. Hospital security is an army of 10 soldiers with like automatic weapons. Yes. Hospital security is not like 3 women in lab coats, okay? But Spider-Man does lose his fight because, like you said, he has to jump off the building to save the girl, and he has to jump like into the gunfire. So there you go. And he does get shot, and he lands in the alley, and you're like, I wonder what happens in part 2. So let's talk about that next. From December of 1987, The Amazing Spider-Man 295 Mad Dogs, Part 2, written by Ann Nesenti, once again penciled by Sidney Martin, and inked this time by Kyle Baker.
Peter awakes, heavily drugged in the, quote, Mad Dog ward of the hospital, where Vicky is also stuck. Two unsavory orderlies working in the ward give Mary, a new, significantly gentler orderly, a tour of all the patients while mocking them as vegetables, superheroes, and brainstorms. This is because they are electroshock patients. Peter struggles to leave his drug-induced stupor, eventually falling asleep. Tanya and Jacob struggle to leave their father, Frank, who struggles to justify the money he made as a mobster. Peter wakes to lead a revolt in the ward, which is aggressively quashed, leading the head doctor to say perhaps he'll hand out some lobotomies the next day.
Okay. I actually really like the second story. I do have to point out the problems that you could throw back at me. It wasn't clear why only one person knows that Peter is Spider-Man. He was literally shot in his Spider-Man costume, and then this book starts off, he's like not in his costume, he's just in the ward. It feels like a longer story that was written and then it had to be cut down and it was missing some details. But overall, I really felt the Ann Nesenti writing was good.
Yeah,
I like the kids staying up to their dad as well. Let's just find out what happens next. We can kind of talk about it all at once. The last book is from December of 1987. Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man 133, I Am Spider. Once again, by Ann Nesenti, Martin, and ink this time by Joe Rubenstein.
Frank tells the children, Tanya and Jacob, he became a criminal to pay their mother's hospital bill. He vows to free Vicky and wins his children's sympathy over. Meanwhile, Peter befriends the sympathetic orderly Mary, who secretly weans him off his drugs. Peter springs into action only to have to fight Mad Dog 2020, the doctor's strongest, craziest brawler. Peter takes him out. And with the help of Frank, who has broken into the Mad Dog ward, brings the doctor out with him. The next day, Peter hopes to expose the facility as a fraud run by Kingpin with the help of Ben Urich. But when they arrive, a press conference is taking place exposing the recently arrested doctor as the problem, making the Kingpin look like a hero. Urich assures him they will catch the Kingpin someday. Frank, Vicky, Tanya, and Jacob are seen driving west to a new life.
There could be as many as 7 people now who know Peter as Spider-Man just from this one story.
It's true.
It's hard to be sure. I did not enjoy that they spent all this time to talk about Mad Dog 2020. I mean, did he get one punched? I mean, it was just probably over that fight. It was a real fast fight. So I probably put a lot of sound effects in there, but it was like one punch. So. Let's be honest.
This series reminds me of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And just like both the movie and the novel, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I was highly, highly disturbed by it. And yet, I read the book, the novel, after I watched the movie, because it is an excellent movie and book that shows the plight of the mentally ill trapped in facilities. It's a stark departure from older stories in Spider-Man involving psychiatrists and therapy.
Wow. It's interesting that Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, changed its title and essentially ended and restarted after this book. I don't know if that was DeFalco's idea, or maybe the book was a scapegoat for all these terrible lobotomies and scary things. It was just like the doctor. It took the fall for everyone. Eddie, let's take care of some sponsor business.
Okay.
You know, there's no need to use Expedia or Travelocity. There's really no reason to travel all over the world. You can have a backyard adventure for 1/3 the cost. Just check out the local Mad Dog ward for 3 square meals, TV, entertainment, and plenty of rest. Mothers can use it to get time away from their children, or young men can use it to get away from stressful work. It's also available for honeymoons. Mad Dog Ward, never give up on going away, even when you're right there.
That might be a very long vacation, James B. I don't think you check out of the Mad Dog Ward. It's kind of like the Hotel California, right?
I mean, as far as I can see, a lot of people in this book went in and came right out. So
they only got out, though, because Peter got
them out. That's because there was a bad guy doctor in the place.
Wilson King Fisk took care of everything.
Cleaned it all up now. It's good. You know, everybody's happier. I saw at the end, Mom drove away happy. Yay, Vicky, I'm better.
Good thing we have businessmen like the Kingpin around to make sure the city stays.
Okay, but let's be honest here. Wasn't Vicky kind of crazy?
She was. You were right. I think she is functionally crazy. Like, she can't kind of do her day-to-day activities. And
the dad's saying, like, I have to work for the Kingpin.
Yeah.
Because I can't pay for your mom's expenses. Agree?
Yes, correct.
And then the Kingpin people are like, that girl's a liability. Put her in the Mad Dog Ward.
Right. You know, so do you have sympathy for Frank? Do you think...
I'm not just saying this. Like, I mean, I get it, right? He needs money for his wife. And he's like, I'll just take... It's a risk.
This is like a Walter White here for me. Like, this guy, he's driving a Jaguar. These people aren't poor. He's making big bucks. Like, I don't know if he had to go and become a mobster to this degree, you know, or even a criminal. I think, he could have been something else and taking care of his wife just as well.
I would not have noticed he's driving a Jaguar. Wow, look at you.
That's why I mentioned it specifically in my summary, because I wanted to make sure everyone knew they were above middle class. You know, this wasn't like Frank the plumber is trying to, find vermin.
I just saw him bring a pepperoni pizza home. I didn't, it didn't ring that he was super rich there. So,
no, their house is really nice. They're like very well off.
We've had some weird podcasts lately, Eddie, because we just had the crossover Sir Craven, and then we had the crossover here. Do you like when these books cross over like this, or would you rather have them stay within their own lanes?
I do not. It's irritating. Like, why have different titles if it's the same story moving, along? Just make it back into one. It would confuse me as a child, because I'd be expecting, it confuses me as an adult. If I opened Web, I would get things about Web and not like a continuation from a story that started in Amazing Spider-Man. But this has been a complaint of mine for like quite a while, actually.
It's getting harder to talk about these books because we have acquired some excellent listeners who have joined our Discord channel.
Oh, yeah?
And I feel every one of them is smarter than me, except for maybe one, as far as Spider-Man knowledge. So anytime I say something, they let me know exactly all these things that I don't know or these things. I'm getting buried in emails and Discord direct messages. However, I will risk taking a chance saying some things again. I think this is the beginning of the end for Marvel right here, okay? Okay, we just did Secret Wars in 1984. We now have Spider-Man running three books, and we just put out three annuals. Literally, there is 1 month right now, I think it's whatever, September, that there was like six Spider-Man books released, and then with October, November, December, you had to buy all three titles. They forced you into it. So you couldn't have gotten away from this. Like, you're buying them all. And they're going to start doing this soon with annuals, where Spider-Man's annual is going to cross over and be completed in Daredevil's annual, who's going to be part three, will be like Captain America's annual. And it's just hard with this massive universe to keep up with these things. I think it's easier to have these guys all in 1 month. But yeah, I think I'd rather have it be, let's have the Spider-Man story go just within The Amazing Spider-Man or just within Web. Again, the only problem is, what's Spider-Man doing? How is he halfway? He's in outer space over here. He's in prison over here.
It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, so if you can do it in 1 month, you can just be like, hey, look, here you go. Right.
Yeah, I have to wonder if Jim Shooter's departure was like the last vestige of what Marvel, like the template of what it meant to write a book at Marvel. And we've had Nascenti write, you know, one or two books in the past when I looked her up, because it's notable that she is a woman writing for Marvel. You know, the first
and the art, main artist, Cindy Martin,
yeah,
is
a woman also.
I think the color is also, the colorist is also a woman. Stupid inker is screwing everything up again.
Well, you know, she openly said, like, my background is not related to superheroes or supervillains or anything, you know. And so she has a twist that is unrelated to everything we've read in the past. And I would say that's pretty accurate in these three books. They're much darker. They involve superheroes very little. You know, almost like making them look bad, too, by showing all these people who are crazy thinking they're superheroes. Great, James B.
All right. I think we've babbled a little bit at the end here and covered some stuff to make it sound like we know what we're talking about. Let's wrap this baby up. Eddie, if people want to reach us, what should they do?
Yeah, send us those emails telling us we know what we're talking about, or we don't, to letsreadspiderman@gmail.com. Or click on the link in this podcast description to join our Discord channel and connect with us through social media.
And now it's time for Eddie's most interesting realization.
As Peter is about to spring into action and save Vicky, Mary tosses him his spider costume, saying, "Don't you need this?" Peter puts his costume on by tying it around his neck like a cape and wears it until he gets out of the hospital. Goodbye.
Bye.
First caped Spider-Man.
Ooh. I hadn't even thought about that.
I thought about it when I, like, just not too long ago. I was like, he's not really in Spider-Man's outfit, but he's got a cape on that's Spider-Man-ish.
Oh, one more thing I want to add here. I think that I'm a bit of a Bronze Age fan, where you're a little bit more of the Silver Age fan. I was thinking this the other day, like, my sweet spot is, yes, I like those 70 to 83 comics. I really like,
really?
Like Stegron's coming out in 1978 and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I like that original,
wow,
Gwen Stacy clone saga. Like, you know, that's my area of books as preferred to the OG
60s.
You know, yeah, like, you know, you get all the good stuff.
That is 100% my vintage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. I know what you had laying around your house. Trust me.
And I just love the campiness. And quite frankly, like the creativeness, it's so creative and like exploring all sorts of different things in silly ways, but really fun ways too.
Cool.